good. Ready?
Uh-huh. Cool.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A Merry Advent to all of you as we're almost to Christmas Eve. It's technically December 24th, but we still have this fourth Sunday to celebrate. Thank you all. It's good to see all of you in your festive sweaters today as we celebrate our best of our Christmas spirit. And it's great to see so many of you participating and enjoying this. A few announcements before we get started. Thanks to all who participated in our Unity Prayer Watch, which happened last Thursday. It's a great opportunity. I know some of you even took hour time slots to fill those, and we're very appreciative of that. It is part of the Moravian Church that since our inception almost, we've always had a Moravian praying for the world at some place throughout the world. And it's something that's made the Moravian Church very unique throughout our history, and we appreciate all of you who participate and keep paying that forward. Just to remember, our service tonight, we have our Candlelight Love Feast service at 7 tonight. Our offering will be donated to Soul Purpose and Friends of the Homeless. Thank you all for your benevolence and your willing to do this. If you'd like to make your offering out to the church, you can just put in your regular offering and designate it to the church. On New Year's Eve, we have a lot to celebrate next week. We'll be celebrating our 70th anniversary with a Love Feast. My wife, Emily, is doing the slideshow for that. We will have a combined Sunday school class before, and we also be, since it's the last Sunday, the kids can bring in their toys, their new Christmas toys, and try to stump me with the children's lesson. So we will have breakfast for our shared Sunday school class. We will have a love feast during church, and then since it's an anniversary service, we'll be having cake afterwards. So if you go home hungry, it's your own fault. Yeah, Kaylin, go ahead. So my Aaron Rodgers life-size bobblehead is probably a little too big for the time capsule. Oh, okay. Also, please note, Saturday, January 6th, Emily and I will be hosting an open house at the Parsonage from 4 to 7. We'll provide a main dish if you would like to bring a side. All are welcome. We're just very excited to celebrate this Christmas season with our church family. And Sunday, January 21st, immediately after worship, keep this date on your mind. That is going to be our church council. We'll have that down in Fellowship Hall. That will be a covered dish. It'll be a great opportunity to celebrate all that God has done in the life of our church. At this time, I'd like to ask if any of you have any other announcements to make. Lloyd? So if you have any questions, ask the little drummer boy over there, and he can lead you to where you need to go. Any other announcements? Yes, Emily.
Anybody who wants to get these pictures, please do that by this evening, and I'll get that to the slideshow next week.
Thank you very much. It's good to see the amount of pictures we've had, and we'll have enough to have a show, and we'll also have some that we can show during our anniversary celebration, so it'll be a great opportunity to look back at so many memories that God has created for us. Any other announcements? All right, let's stand and greet one another. It's all lonely over here without the Staffords, huh? Morning, Linda. How's it going? Morning, Stacy. Morning, Ryan. Good morning, Miss Paige. Good morning, Missy. How's everybody feeling? Good morning, Clay. Good morning, Audrey. Good morning, Mr. Nick. Good morning, Floyd. Good morning, Billy. Good morning, Harley. Good morning, Leslie. Thank you. you could all be seated as we join together in our watchword of the week. You may be seated. And our watchword for the week comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, the 49th verse. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name.
Call to worship. Let us give thanks to God who strengthens our hearts and minds through the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us praise the revelation of the mystery that was made known to us.
Brothers and sisters, who does this promise belong to?
This promise is made available to all who welcome Christ in their hearts.
Please rise as we join together to sing People in Darkness.
Thank you. standing and turn to page 57 in your Moravian Book of Worship. Well, I'm sorry, it says sit down, so please be seated. Christ, the light of the world, empower us to shine as lights in this dark world of sin.
Christ, the creative Word, by whom all things were made, lead us into good stewardship of creation, that we and our children may preserve and enjoy the world entrusted to us.
Christ, the living truth, give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding that sees beyond temporal values to discern your truth and to declare it.
Christ, our righteous judge, give us courage to stand by the poor, the meek, and the oppressed, and strengthen our support for all who are your advocates.
Christ, the Lamb of God, send us forth as your ambassadors of reconciliation in a broken and troubled world. Bring peace to the conflicts of nations, races, and tribes.
We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that we might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. May our lives show forth that as we truly are. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Please stand. May the Lord make us increase in love for one another and for all.
May the Holy Spirit strengthen us to become more like Christ as we eagerly await his coming.
As we turn to our hearts to our offering, today actually for the children's lesson, I'll be sharing the story how the Grinch stole Christmas. And as a reminder for us as Moravians that we are a religion of the heart, we're a heart-based religion. But our connection with Christ comes from that. And it reminds me of a story of the early Moravians, and they just came to America, and one of the people who had been in the colonies for quite a while looked at the Moravians and he said, "Gosh, why do you guys smile all the time? You just never stop. What is the reason for this?" And the leader of the church at that time just looked him in the eyes and he said, "I wish we as a community could take credit for that, but that credit belongs to our dear Savior who always provides us a smile and a light of the world. And in our offering today, we give thanks to the light in our world who will be born today, Jesus Christ."
Thank you.
Let us join together in the prayer of dedication. Prince of Peace, help us to be humble like Mary in all of our interactions with the world. May we also keep you, the Christ child, close to our hearts when we need to feel the presence of God's love. Amen. You may be seated. We turn our attention now to prayer. And this week we remember Clara Gorby, who had a fall this past week at her home and she broke a rib. So we pray for healing for her and for Kylie and for all their family. We continue to pray for Indian Valley High School, who is mourning the loss of the student Ryan Freeland, who is a freshman who passed away from bacterial meningitis last week. Prayers for all those undergoing test results, treatments, or therapies of any kind. We also remember Roger Imhoff. He's a former Garraway and Dover teacher who was recently diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer. Surgeries and treatments will be in his very near future. And we also uplift all those who are dealing with transitions this Christmas time. For those of you who've lost a loved one or are dealing with a change this season, we remember that Christmas isn't always the easiest season for everyone, but we're so thankful for the community and the love and the support that God has given us in this moment, and we rejoice in that. Let us take a moment to open our hearts and have a moment of prayer with God. God, we come before you today in a spirit of gratitude and generosity. For you are the light of the world. And we ask that your flame reach everyone in this world. As we think about that this Christmas Eve, how contagious and how quickly your message and your light can grow within each one of us. We just want to say thankful to you. But we realize this Christmas season that it's supposed to be a season of giving. And sometimes we turn it into a season of selfish want. That we want more than we give, that we reach for one more thing instead of being grateful for what we have. Gracious God, we confess that we have sinned against you by what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. But still, you find a way to surround us with love and grace in a way that is amazing and reconciles us with our dear Savior. Gracious God, we turn our attention to the sick, the hungry, the lonely, those who are feeling separated from God. Help them to see that you, O God, seek us as much as we seek you. And in this Christmas season, in all this bustle of things that come together, quiet our hearts in those small moments of grace and compassion that are disguised as completely ordinary moments. But we know that that spirit of content comes from you, our dear Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.
First scripture lesson is found on 2 Samuel 7, 4-11, found on page 219. That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers who I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men on the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, and they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies.
Thank you, Chloe. Our gospel today comes from the first chapter of Luke, verses 46 to 56. It is Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to this promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the reading of God's holy word. May it reach your heart, your mind, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for our children's lesson. Right over here. Come on up. There we go, Brandon's hustling. How's everybody doing today?
Awesome!
Are you excited for Christmas?
Yeah!
Do you have your wish list for Santa already filled out?
No, I didn't.
You better hurry up. Mom and Dad might be waiting to hand that off pretty soon. So we're going to read one of my favorite stories, my Christmas stories. Can anybody guess what it is?
No.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And this is actually a very Christian story when you listen to it. And we're going to talk about that, but first we're going to read it. So every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why, no one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos, staring down from his cave with a sour Grinchy frown at the warm light windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath, was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath. "And they're hanging their stockings," he snarled with a sneer. "Tomorrow is Christmas, it's practically here." Then he growled with his Grinch fingers, nervously drumming, "I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming." For tomorrow, he knew, all the Who girls and Who boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise. That's the one thing he hated, the noise. Then the Who's young and old would sit down to a feast. And they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, feast, feast. That sounds like good Moravians, doesn't it? And they would feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast feast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he'd like the least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing,
They'd stand hand in hand, and the whoos would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, and sing, sing. Does that sound like Moravians do? Yeah, do we sing a lot? And you see how they stand together? That's kind of like what we'll do tonight for our candlelight love feast, where we all stand together and celebrate. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas thing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now, I must stop this Christmas from coming, but how? Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what to do. The Grinch laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Santa Claus hat and coat. And he chuckled and clucked. What a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, I look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer. The Grinch looked around. But since reindeer are scarce, there was none to be found. Did that stop the old Grinch? No, the Grinch simply said, If I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. So he called his dog Max, then he took some red thread, and he tied a big horn on the top of his head. Could you imagine doing that to your dog? Doing that to little Patches, making him a reindeer? Oh yeah, you could, that's cool. Then he loaded some bags and some empty old sacks on a ramshackle sleigh, and he hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said, "Giddy up," and the sleigh started down toward the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark, quiet snow filled the air. All the Whos were dreaming sweet dreams without care. When he came to the first little house on the square, "This is stop number one," the old Grinchy Claus hissed, and he climbed to the roof, empty bag in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch, but if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings all hung in a row. "These stockings," he grinned, "are the first thing to go." Who has a Christmas stocking up already? Everybody a Christmas stocking? Then he slithered and slunked, with a smile most unpleasant, around the whole room, and he took every present. Pop guns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn and plums. And he stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch very nimbly stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimney. Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast feast. He cleaned the icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took the last can of Who hash. Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. "And now," grinned the Grinch, "I will stuff up the tree." And the Grinch grabbed the tree and he started to shove, when he heard a small sound like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast and he saw a small Who, little Cindy Lou who was not more than two. See little Cindy? The Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter who'd got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, "Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking the Christmas tree? Why?" But you know that old Grinch was so smart and so slick. He thought up a lie, and he thought it up quick. "Why, my sweet little tot," the fake Santa Claus lied, "there's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here." And his fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went to the chimney and stuffed the tree up. Then the last thing he took was a log for their fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On their walls he left nothing but hooks and some wires. And the one speck of food that he left in the house
was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. Then he did the same thing to the other who houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other who mouses. It was quarter past dawn, all the who still abed, all the who still a snooze, when he packed up his sled. Packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags and the tinsel, the trimmings, the trappings. See how full his sled is? Look at all the presents. He's got everybody's presents. And 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo to the who's, he was grinchishly humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. See them all singing? And the Grinch with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happens then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. And he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef. The end. So why do you think we read that in church today? What makes that a Christian story? Tyler?
If the Grinch came back with all the stuff.
He gave back all their stuff. That's a very good thing to do. Brandon? He loved everybody, right? In the end, he loved everybody. And in the end, it talks about the Grinch's heart growing. Who do you think causes our heart to grow as Christians? Nick? God? Jesus? Because when we believe in Jesus, when we hold him in our heart, guess what happens? We become better people. We become more caring people. And our tiny little heart begins to grow. And you know what we do with that heart? We help everybody around us. And it makes them better people too. And that's what the story of the Grinch teaches us. That by being good people, by listening to our hearts, that we can share our love with everybody around us and make our world better. And guess what? The little who's down in Whoville, none of them got presents. But they were happy regardless because they had their family. They had Jesus. They knew that these things were good for them. And it didn't matter what was under their Christmas tree because the things that mattered to them couldn't be taken away. Like their faith in God and their faith in each other. So I want you guys always to remember that. But the true spirit of Christmas can't be taken away from anybody. And it can't be found underneath your tree. So I want you guys to grab your cans. We're going to do a joyful noise offering for Harbor House it was? Or is it Dr. Christmas? Is it Dr. Christmas? Excuse me. So if you could give to that, we would appreciate Somebody want to get Randy? Right over there. Don't forget Randy. Good job. Bring it up here, B. Good job, Aubrey. All right. Thank you all very much. Ryland, you want to put it right there? Oh, that's cool. Leave it right there. Let's all get in our circle and let's have a prayer. Let's pray together. God, we are so thankful for the children who remind us what the true spirit of Christmas is. It is our Savior, Jesus Christ, who teaches us to smile and to laugh and to play and to love one another. And help us all have that spirit as we enjoy our Christmas Eve night and our Christmas day. In your name we pray. Amen. You may remain seated for our next hymn. Oh, yep, make sure you grab a pencil. Join together with me for a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today and we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to the words that inspire us. Help us not take this last Sunday of Advent for granted, for we know Advent is a time of patience and peace, and we ask that you instill that patience and peace within each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we get to experience one of the favorite holidays in the Lippert household growing up, Christmas Eve's Eve. Or I guess one of my seminary's professor called it Christmas Adam because Adam waits for Eve. And it's a good celebration of the patience that is required for each one of us. For today, the calendar says December 24th, but we're not quite there yet. We still have the fourth Sunday of Advent to celebrate before we officially welcome the Christ child with a love feast and candles tonight. However, this extra time allows us to slow down a bit and hear the thoughtful words of Mother Mary. Mary's song is beautiful, poetic, and it's often vastly overlooked. Rarely do we hear her words in the Christmas pageants and the stories of the Nativity. Yet these words from a teenage mother before she gives birth should stir something within us. It makes me think of how many of you in this congregation remember that time before your first child was born, that where you're 6 or 7 or 8 months pregnant and just dealing with the peace and the expectation that something beautiful was coming. and it was about to happen, and you weren't quite sure how it was going to happen. And I'm sure many of you sang songs to your child, or you read books, or you tried to convince them that your music was better than your spouse's music while they were sleeping. And many of us go through that beautiful time, that beautiful expectation and patience. And that's exactly what Mary is doing. She's waiting. She's wondering. I mean, imagine that. You're about to give birth to the Savior of the world. Not only is it your first child, but it's Jesus. How do you get ready for that? And I think so many of us often go through that when we have our first child, whether it's the man or the woman, and we both go through it in different ways. I think for men, I hear from them that, oh my God, this reality hits them, like, somebody's actually trusting me with like a human being in like my hands, and they're going to let me walk out of the hospital with a real live human being. Medical professionals, how crazy are they? And we just, that craziness hits us, that we are going to be responsible for a child. And Mary, that craziness is hitting her, that she is going to be responsible for Jesus. And the song that we hear from Mary today is a prayer. And what Mary is praying is for mercy and humility. Verse 50 in this said, "His mercy extends to those who fear him." Not his anger, not his wrath, not his judgment, his mercy. And this is Mary kind of expanding that Old Testament ideology of God, that God was merciful and loving. In verse 51, she said, "He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones." And notice how inclusive this text is. She just doesn't say, he does this for the Jewish people because we're Jews and he takes care of us. No, he says, for those who are proud, God makes humble. And he brings down rulers from their thrones who think they are the ones in charge, not God. And Mary said, God is capable of doing that to all people. And what was interesting as I researched this sermon was finding that Mary's prayer was not synonymous in itself. It was not unique by itself. There's actually quite a bit of prayers and songs like this throughout the Bible. But what makes Mary and a lot of females in the Bible interesting is that they are often advocates of peace. They're nonviolent believers. You'll see them, they're not very much about, a lot of these prayers will be double-sided. They'll say, God is mercy. He provides all these great things. And then there's the other half of the coin, that God will provide judgment on my enemies, that he will strike them down. But if you listen to the voice of Mary, and another one I want to share with you is Hannah. And for those of you that don't know Hannah, Hannah is the mother of the prophet Samuel. And her words come from 1 Samuel 2. And what is interesting about this is this prayer from Hannah is almost very similar, strikingly similar to what Mary says, and this is what Hannah says. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him his deeds are weighed. The bows of the warrior are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves, out for food. But those who are hungry, hunger no more. But she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the graves and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. And it's interesting to hear in Hannah and Mary's prayer that there is a role reversal in society, that those who are weak will be strengthened by God. And I think that is why God chose to speak through Hannah and Mary, because they were two of the most vulnerable people in their lives. Hannah was a woman who waited a very long time to give birth to someone. So she was treated as less than by her society, because if you couldn't give birth to a child, then there was something wrong with you. You were a sinner. And that's how they explained that. If you could not give birth to a child, there was something wrong with you. And Mary was a woman who had a child out of wedlock. So she was another one who that finger was pointed at by society. Both of them knew what it was like to feel like the least of these. And that's why it's so important that they include God's vision, that there is room for all of us, and that God will strengthen the weak, and he will invite all of us into that peace. And I want to show you a little bit of the discrepancy in how some of the other prophets spoke in their songs of praise. The one I'm going to read for you is from 2 Samuel, and it's from David. He's at the end of his life, and this is his song of praise. And I want you to hear, this is just a little chunk of it, verses 13 to 16. And I want you to hear kind of more of that Mel Gibson God that David has in mind, the one that's going to come and he's going to pound the hammer down. And that's kind of what David sees. He says, beginning with verse 13 of chapter 22, "Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, the voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies. Bolts of lightning enrouted them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundation of the earth laid bare. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils." So what you see truly is not only is David telling you his expectations for God, but he's sharing with you the expectations that people have for the coming Messiah, that he is going to be the thunder, the lightning that shakes the earth, that brings peace to his people. And it reminds us, Mary is the one who says, the Prince of Peace may not be what you seem to be. He's going to be somebody who's merciful, forgiving, gentle. Those are the traits that are going to make him the Messiah. And so many people had an issue with this because they wanted the easy way out. They wanted Jesus to be the one that conquered and just gave everything to the Israelites. But that's not the Jesus they got. Mary was a mother of peace. And one of the things that's important for us as Moravians is being peacemakers is a huge part of our history. Actually, the father of nonviolence, of modern pacifism, is a guy named Peter Helchitsky. And he grew up in Czech Bohemia, in Moravia. And he considered himself what would be a Hussite back then. And he was one of the people who laid the foundation for really turning to the Bible and saying, being a person of nonviolence, of turning the other cheek, that Christ is the one that commands it from us. And Peter was very interesting because he talked about how there needed to be a difference in the church. We need to be a church that prays for people, P-R-A-Y, instead of the church that he faced in his life, which was P-R-E-Y. They preyed on people. They demanded money from people who had none. They put people in difficult situations. It was Peter who said, we have got to get back to our focus, to Christ. And what's interesting is Peter's writings inspired a Russian author in the 20th century, and his name was Leo Tolstoy. And Tolstoy's writing went on to inspire a South African student by the name of Gandhi. And Gandhi took those writings and he inspired somebody by the name of Martin Luther King Jr. And you can trace the roots from Peter Helchitsky to Martin Luther King Jr. in nonviolent peace. And it's really cool to see that Moravians have helped carry that torch for 500 years. And that is part of our legacy, to be peacemakers, to lift up the merciful and the mighty. And one of the realities we have to deal with is that we as Protestants love to ignore Mary because we feel the Catholic Church gives her too much attention. However, we must find a space between worship and ignorance. And we have to let Mary be Mary, because she's a wonderful mother. She is a prophet who carries out a vision. She's told by God that she has a task to do, and she does it. She is one of the few that doesn't say, "Oh, you're wrong, God. I'm going to turn away. I got better things to do." No, Mary realized God spoke. I'm going to listen. That it's in her best interest to do that. And she is given a vision and a promise by God, and she delivers faithfully on that promise. She reminds us that even the Son of God needed to be loved for, cared for, and nurtured. And the first gift, the very first gift God gives the Prince of Peace is a mother of peace. And it is a reminder, as our hearts turn to the manger tonight, that faith is never meant to be experienced alone. We are all in this together. And even Jesus needed a support system. For our calling is to share God's love with one another. And brothers and sisters, that is a gift we can't keep to ourselves. For we have to share with one another. And if we trust in heart in Christ, if we have faith in Christ, then our hearts too, like the Grinch, will grow. Amen. Let's pray. God, we come before you today and we hear Mary's song of peace and nonviolence. And God, we ask that you bring us to be peacemakers in a violent world, that this world needs love, compassion, and forgiveness, and that none of us should take pride in our station in life, for you can change it in a heartbeat, and you will take the humble, and you will give them gifts, and you will take the merciful, and spread their mercy across the world. And God, we ask that you help us to be your hands and feet. And as we turn to the Christmas Eve tonight, help us to see, help us to be reborn in the light of Christ, which needs to be reborn within each one of us every single day. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you all now to stand as we join together in our final hymn.
before I send you away with our benediction, I'm remiss to announce that I forgot to do one of the favorite parts of my job, which is to embarrass my family. So I'd like to introduce my in-laws who are in the back row. Everybody wave at everybody. And make sure you give them a big Schönbrunn welcome as they leave today. My mother-in-law, father-in-law, and sister-in-law came from Bethlehem, and my brother-in-law, Evan, was nice enough to come to North Carolina to celebrate the family with us. So it is a great season of family and love and compassion. So let us go with the words of God. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.